Katie, we know that in the relapse situation and platinum sensitive relapse that you all define as somebody who hasn't had a platinum agent in like 6 months or so, they have three approved PARP inhibitors, niraparib, rucaparib, and olaparib. It kind of seems like they're all used interchangeably. And BRCA germline standard, a lot of debate because you have great data in wild type disease. It definitely reduces risk of relapse. Then you have the idea of BEV as an alternative. Any comments about where we are right now with PARP inhibitors in patients who missed the initial opportunity and now have platinum sensitive relapse? How are these patients being approached? And is there any preference about which PARP inhibitor is being used since all three are approved?
So the indication in the platinum sensitive recurrent setting is a lot different than the frontline setting. So in the platinum sensitive recurrent setting, you not only have to be what we call platinum sensitive, or more appropriately, platinum eligible. So you've gone enough from your first platinum that you feel like it's reasonable to use platinum again, and you respond to that platinum. So you're selecting out a group of patients who are very responsive to chemotherapy, and you have either a complete or very good partial response. And then we use one of three PARP inhibitors until progression. For patients with either a somatic or a germline BRCA mutation, the choice there is clear when comparing to bevacizumab. It's a PARP inhibitor. PARP-naive patient in that setting needs a PARP inhibitor. The hazard ratios are like 0.23 to 0.3, just unbelievably positive in that high-risk setting. Because remember, all of those patients are going to recur again. We're not curing anyone in that setting. So the longer we can push off the next chemotherapy, the better our patients do. And PFS2 in all of those studies does confirm that. So that's
a germline patient you're talking
that's
about.
That's a germline patient, germline or somatic. Germline or somatic,
right.
The hazard ratios
patient.
Don't differ at all. 0.27, 0.27. So we don't have any reason to think that they behave differently. Now, in a BRCA wild type patient, the studies did different assays. Rucaparib looked at the loss of heterozygosity assay, that's Foundation Medicine. Niraparib, the NOVA study, used the Myriad assay, which is a combination of three tests, inclusive of loss of heterozygosity, but also has telomeric allelic imbalance and large state transitions. So the scores are a little different, but they're kind of the same. Really sort of trying to score patients who inherently have, tumors inherently have difficulty fixing their DNA. So when you look at those groups that are BRCA wild type, but HRD, however you define it, positive, they still had very favorable hazard ratios as well in the 0.39 to 0.45 range. So very positive. The conundrum is that in the completely biomarker negative group, however you looked at HRD and BRCA, if both of those were negative, those hazard ratios across the board were 0.5. which is still really a lot better than anything we've achieved thus far, and hence the indication in the platinum-sensitive recurrent setting was agnostic to any biomarker. So in those latter two groups comes the sort of clinical equipoise with bevacizumab, which is used with chemo, does improve response rates, and then to follow chemo regardless of the response rate, you know, unless it's progression, of course. But if you have stable disease, people are transitioning to them to bevacizumab, and you do see a modest but statistically significant overall survival advantage, which we haven't seen yet in the PARP inhibitor studies just because we haven't gotten that far yet. So that remains to be seen. So there, I think, you know, there's definitely shared decision-making with patients, oral versus IV. You know, you can kind of line things up for patients.
And a lot of controversy among investigators. They had people change their mind. A previous symposium said one thing, yeah, and changed their mind the next. So there's a lot of controversy.
We do that.
This is the last clinical area, Katie, and you're going to maybe just briefly comment on the patient who's never had a PARP inhibitor and gets far out, third, fourth, fifth line therapy, but it's BRCA wild type, no HRD, but yet we still find a lot of people using PARP inhibitors. There are data supporting that. Any comment about using PARP inhibitors in that setting, Katie?
There is data coming out. The QUADRA study actually was released today in Lancet Oncology. That's niraparib in all comers. And so we had very heavily pretreated patients. Many of them were classified as platinum resistant, biomarker negative. The response rates are pretty low. You know, it's 10% or less. But you did have disease stabilization at 4 and 6 months. That was pretty reasonable in that group, 15 to 18%. It's kind of a wishy-washy endpoint, but it is a clinically meaningful endpoint for a heavily pretreated patient who you hold stable for 6 months. So I think it's a potential. The registration path for that is a little tricky, but there is data to support a try.